I want to really say it's so nice to come as a pilgrim to Singhachalam and see the preparations which are being made. Did you also see the flower decoration today? How it really brought out the glory of our Lord, and very, very nice. And our Mahavishnu Maharaj, your kirtan is very melodically, it is very appealing to the heart. Wonderful. Yes, it's my great honor to deliver a lecture today, and I will be, we have little time, so I will go directly to the core. We will just briefly sing. Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varada Vallabha Giri Varada Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varada Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Dandana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Dandana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada Jaya Palat Nisinga Palat Nisinga Palat Nisinga Jaya Palat Nisinga Om Namo Bhagavate Bhagavad te Vasudevaya. Ishatapi tasya vi paryayo smriti. Tanmaya yato buddha abhayetam. Bhaktyaika yesham guru de vatatma. In the interest of time, please, some Vaishnava, please chant. Thank you. Please, one Vaishnavi, if possible. Ayam nitya vinive chatasya Ishata petasya vibhaya yosmiti Amaya yato buddha abhayetam Please excuse me, I will go directly to the translation. When the living entity is attracted by the material energy, like all of you, when the living entity is attracted by the material energy, like all of us, which is separate from Krishna, the result is that he is overpowered by fear. Because he is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the material energy, his conception of life is reversed. In other words, instead of being the eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes Krishna's competitor. I should speak more in the microphone, or? Oops. So the So here a succession, a deep idea was presented. When the jiva, the living entity, becomes attracted to the material energy, which is separated from Krishna, what is the result? Yes, he's overpowered by fear. Because he is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by the material energy, his conception of life is what? Reversed, upside down, you know. In other words, instead of being the eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes Krishna's competitor. You know? He wants to be like Krishna. This is called Viparya Yosmriti. To nullify this mistake, one who's actually learned and advanced worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his spiritual master, as his worshipful deity, and the very source of his life. He thus worships the Lord by the process of unalloyed devotional service. So, Prabhupada gives here a purport. This is a well-known verse. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is an instruction given by Kavi Rishi, one of the nine saintly personality called the nine Yogendras. You know, when Vasudev, Krishna's father, asked Devashi Narada in Dwaraka about devotional service, it was mentioned that previously King Nimi, who was the king of Videha, was instructed by the nine Yogendras. Same subject, no? Vasudev asked Narada, tell me about devotional service. And Narada said, previously there was a king who asked the same question and was instructed by nine mystic yogis, Yogendras. When Sri Narada Muni discoursed on Bhagavad Dharma, devotional service, he indicated how a conditioned soul can be liberated by engaging in the loving transcendental service of the Lord. The Lord is the super soul, the Lord is the spiritual master, the Lord is also the worshipable deity of all conditioned souls. Not only is Krishna the supreme worshipful deity for all living entities, but he's also the guru, or Chaitya guru, the super soul in the heart who always gives the living entity good counsel. Unfortunately, the living entity neglects the supreme person's instructions. I will read the rest of the purport when I come to this in the lecture. Hope it doesn't die until that time, the text. I mean the mic, this telephone. Please join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gobhaktavinda Jaina Singha Srina Singha Jai Jaina Singha Dev Pala Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringam. Let us just fix this microphone. It will always go back. Do you have this screw? It has, it's like a cross. Yes. Then we have peace. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, it's not so easy. No, it is. Akra kadabra. Stay where you are. Please. My dear devotees, I want to ask you a question. What do you consider the three most powerful emotions? Sometimes monks and ladies are afraid of emotions because they know there is something that is working in our heart and doesn't always follow the reason. So it may be that we have eaten enough, but somehow I am overwhelmed by greed, which is an emotion, and I want to eat more than necessary. This is a very harmless example. What about lust? What is about anger? Doesn't always follow our reason, and it can overwhelm us. So please tell me, what do you consider to be the three most powerful emotions?
Love.
Fear.
Anger.
Where do we find these emotions in the Nrisimha Lila? Love in Prahlad. Fear in Hiranyakashipu. And transcendental anger is easy. Nrisimhadev. Good, 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 good. This Lila has a lot to tell us, as you know already. It is said that Lord Nrisimhadev is one of three avatars who are singled out as the most important manifestations of God. Who are the three? Krishna, yes, you are Hare Krishnas. I thought you would say this. Krishna, Rama, and Nrisimhadev. Why, amongst the many avatars, we hear that there are as many as waves on a river. Oh, who can count the waves on the Donau or Ilz or Inn? Why are the three singled out as being most important? This will not be so easy. In a way, it is easy. It's a good question, isn't it? Why is our Nrisimhadev, Rama, and then Krishna is not just an avatar, but the source of the avatars, singled out by Sanatana Goswami? It comes in Krishna Lila Stava as the most important. One said because of love. There was love, was there? Any other idea? Because of the reason why they came?
Because of the affection for devotees.
The affection for devotees?
They show all opulences in full.
Ha!
This was the answer which I wanted to give and which I heard being given. They have one quality which for the devotees of God, wherever they are, especially the devotees of us also, is of the most interest. It's the most powerful quality. It's the most endearing quality. It's called, they are, have this Bhakta Vatsalatva, or they have this quality of being Bhakta Vatsalya. That means full of a protective, almost parental type of love towards their devotees. Sigi Jung, the famous psychologist and psychotherapist from Switzerland, he said that there are two forms of God. One is the distant God, which is very often the God of Christianity, of Islam, of Indian. And then we find also a close God who's very involved in our life, who's very active, who's very personal with us. Therefore, it's a parental form of love. We had the other day a young Gurukuli as a guest in our ashram, and the father in America, it's in America, was constantly phoning and, is everything all right? Did my child come with a flight on time? Was he gotten from the airport? Every meter of the journey, not this much, but every stretch of the journey, the parental care of the father, who was somewhere on the other side of the planet on in America, was there. So he was very close. He cared for his child. He was very pleased when everything went well. And I think he would have gone in a helicopter or an UFO or somehow, if there would be a small obstacle in the journey of the child. It was the first journey of the child where the child journeyed alone without the parental care. So this quality, it's called Bhaktavats Salatva, and quality of being caring like a father to his devotees is there in Rama and in Krishna and in, yes, they care. Care very much. I want to now see, do we have enough air? I'm afraid by what will come now, it will be so moving that if you don't have anything to breathe, you will faint. So, can we open the window? Not window, the tent. Is it possible, Gomahan? Because I see already the devotees showing the first signs of entering into a trance. This is not good. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. My dear devotees, Lord Nrisimhadev cares so much for his devotees that he has throughout the Leela his eyes fixed on Hiranyakashipu, the one who attacked little Prahlad, his devotee, and with the other eye he always looked at Prahlad. He was so angry because Hiranyakashipu had dared to attack his own devotee, little, innocent, pure-hearted Prahlad, that the Lord came out of the pillar and pounced on Hiranyakashipu and then finished him. It is said that after Lord Nrsingadev was done with Hiranyakashipu, the Nrsinga Purana says there was nothing left. No one saw Hiranyakashipu. Then the Lord shook his nails, and the dirt which fell from his nails, that was what was left of Hiranyakashipu. Hare Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada was first shown this picture where Lord Nrsingadev is opening Hiranyakashipu and puts the garland from his intestines around, Prabhupada looked at it and smiled, and his only comment was, "More blood." You may laugh because of the comical situations. Those of you who are coaches, intellectuals, guests who come to the tent will go, "What? What is this? I thought I'm in the wrong place. I thought this is a peaceful spirituality," and so on. There is a place of all the emotions in the spiritual world and the spirit, and the anger that is vented towards those who are against the Lord and giving trouble to those who worship the Lord. So he was so angry, Lord Nrsingadev, that no one could pacify him, not even his wife. The devata said, Lakshmi, you are his wife, you know. You go forward, you pacify him. Lakshmi tried to come close to Lord Nrsingadev, who still had his angry form with 16 hands. And she came back and said, "I don't recognize my husband here." But Brahma had watched, and he had seen that Lord Nrsingadev was angry with one eye only. With the other eye, he had looked at Prahlad. Perhaps this is necessary to understand the Nrsinga avatar, that he shows two emotions. One is towards the villainous demons, and the other is towards his devotee. There is a verse which I found in the Rig Veda. My God, in the Rig Veda. This is the oldest Veda and perhaps the oldest reference to Nrsingadev. Please repeat after me. Shrinve Veda. Ugram Ugram. Damayan. Have you noticed twice? Ugram, ugram, very ugram, very angry. Well, we have so little time, so let us hear the English. The Lord in the form of half lion, half man, Nrsingha, is famous for his incomparable prowess. Again and again, he silences the villainous demons, the rascal demons, casting them into the darkness of hell. Those who are good-natured, this is the other side of the Lord, he diligently helps to advance on the path to the light, Rig Veda language, no? Leading to salvation of the soul. However, those who strive for aggrandizement beyond all measure, you know, they want to have more and more and more, are put in their place by the strict but just Lord. This is from the Rig Veda, and is quoted in Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnaya. It's a comment on Mahabharata by Madhvacharya. So, yes, he's very uncompromising with the villains, the demons, and he helps advance on the path to the light, leading to salvation of the soul, all others. And we will hear an example of this. There, let us just hear a little of the Leela of Lord Nrisimhadev, just how he manifested. Hiranyakashipu had cornered Prahlad. Prahlad had told him, "My Lord is everywhere." Now Hiranyakashipu had to only do one thing, break open the pillar to prove that the Lord wasn't there. And he would make a big fool out of his boy in front of everyone assembled. At that time, all the devatas came in their vehicles and hovered over the palace. They didn't come too close because they knew something is going to happen now, but they were also not too far away. They were in the best spectator seats. With great force, Hiranyakashipu struck the pillar with his fist. As soon as Hiranyakashipu struck at the pillar, a thunderous sound emerged from the pillar. Initially, Hiranyakashipu thought, I made the sound. I have a fist that is hard as granite. But then, and also all the servants in the palace thought, our master has now shown his incomparable punch. But when the sound became louder and louder and louder, Hiranyakashipu knew he had nothing to do with that sound. It came from another source. The sound, my dear devotees, was so intensely loud that it almost seemed to crack open the coverings of the universe. The sound echoed throughout the universe. Instantly, everyone abandoned everything they were doing and began to move towards the dramatic place. Soon, all the big rulers of the universe were there. Suddenly, a very intense roar was heard, originating from within the pillar. First the cracking and now the roar. It was a roar the magnitude of which the demons had never heard while they were alive. Their hearts began to pound intensely. Hiranyakashipu began to sweat. How must the sweat of Hiranyakashipu have smelled? I think very bad. Drawing out his sword, he braced himself, not knowing what was about to emerge from that pillar. How could anything be inside a pillar that had stood in his palace for hundreds of years? There was nothing and no one inside. Then the pillar burst open, and in the broken pillar stood the most mystical creature that anyone had ever seen. Hiranyakashipu's jaws dropped. This wasn't definitely within the creation of Lord Brahma. So there was a fight, the ensuing fight, and Lord Narsingadev's tongue was moving like the sword of an expert sword master. His eyes stood up like this, and the eyes, ears stood up like this without moving. He was gazing at Hiranyakashipu, and he pounced on him and grabbed him. And Hiranyakashipu thought, now I'm gone, I'm finished. But then he let him free, and Hiranyakashipu thought, wow, I'm so strong, he can't hold me, and attacked again. And this repeated itself. And Hiranyakashipu got, after some time, the idea, I'm not an opponent to this this mighty being, but why is he delaying to kill me? Why is he waiting? And then he noted that the sun was going down. Oh no! He had prayed to not be killed during the day, and Brahma had given him the boon. Not during the night, but this was the dawn, dusk it's called. Then he noted how Narsingadev changed the place where the fight took place. He was moving him towards the threshold of the palace. Then he knew. He had asked, neither inside nor outside I should be killed. No, neither inside nor outside. So the threshold, do you understand this English word? Die Schwelle in Deutsch? It's neither inside nor outside. And then he knew, all my arrangements, all my securities measures have now been I have been outsmarted, and he will outsmart me on all of my other conditions. My dear devotees, I want to finish here, because most probably tomorrow our speakers will talk more in detail. I want to stop here to come to a point which has a lot to do with each one of us. What do you think is the main emotion which we fear, which we have here in this world? Fear. This whole world is called how? Kuntaloka. And the opposite, the spiritual world, is called Vaikunta. Yes, you know Sanskrit, amazing. Vaikunta means without fear. This is the quality of the spiritual world. The quality of the material world is fear. What type of fears do people have in this world? Fear of death. Yes?
The most fearful fear is to speak in front of the public.
Yeah, I'm sure it's told. Those who are used to this, they get energy by speaking before the public. But for a normal person, and I know I'm also a normal person, when I first did, I had a digestion. I needed to go 3 times to the bathroom before giving a lecture and 6 times afterwards. I was just so nervous. So Param Shreya is right. This is a, other fears.
Failure.
Fear of humiliation.
Losing material security.
Fear of that our, all our arrangements collapse and our material security is gone.
Fear to be alone.
I don't know. There are many fears. Fears of heights. And if you fear of losing a near and dear one. And my dear devotees, there are two ways in which you can approach, or people approach, this fear. One is the Hiranyakashipu way, and one is the Prahlad way. Hiranyakashipu did strong tapasyas. He didn't eat, he stood for many, many years in the cold of the to get boons from Brahma. I will not be killed in daytime and nighttime, not inside, not outside, not by a human being, not by a weapon, so many things. So, he thought he had made all arrangements. Can you detect some of this psychology in you? We pay insurance, we have money on the bank, not when we are brahmachari. We do exercises. I do exercise because I'm very afraid that I will become senile. I will forget everything, and I know I have to have circulation in the brain to do this, to remember. We do exercise. We have good diets. We make sure that we are in security. When we see someone who might become dangerous for us, we avoid them. We avoid going alone in the night in Vrindavan because we have heard so many things. We make a lot of arrangements, my dear devotees. We make clever arrangements. We make foolish arrangements. All kinds of arrangements we make to deal with our fears. You know, maybe the Matajis have a fear. Maybe I will not get a good husband who's intelligent and non-violent. You know, I'm not talking funnily. I'm talking really. Let me zoom into the mind of some of you. Fears. Oh, will I be able to chant 16 rounds even when I'm older? Will I be able to solve the present misunderstanding? What is about the future? Will I go through all the changes which might come? You know, will I be able to save myself from old age? You know, and so on and so forth. Prabhupada writes about this fear. He says, in this material world, everyone is in fearful consciousness. Sada samudvigya diyam. And the only means, listen now, to make everyone fearless is to make good arrangements. Not quite, no? Okay, let's hear this again. Prabhupada is a devotee, so he will speak the Prahlad way of becoming fearless. And the only means to make everyone fearless is Krishna consciousness. When Lord Narsingadev appeared, all the devotees became what? Fearless. The devotees' hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Lord Narsingadev. Yato yato yami tato Narsingha. Wherever we go, we must always think of Narsingadev. Please repeat after me. Yato yato yami. Yes, once again, everyone. Yato yato yami tato Narsingha. So this means wherever we go, there is Nrisimhadev. Thus there will be no fear for the devotee of the Lord. In one of the Nrisimha Chaturdasis, one of the speaker told us an amazing experience of Srila Prabhupada's father. Srila Prabhupada's father, his name is Gomohan, and they was on his way, made a pilgrimage to Badrinath. And on the way, as they passed through the mountains, Himalaya mountains, they were overcome or overwhelmed by bandits. So the bandits in this area killed their victims, the pilgrims, because in this way they would not leave any traces. No one would be there to tell that they were robbed and would tell the police perhaps the faces of those who robbed them, how they looked. So the bandits said to Gomohandi, okay, you know the story, we will now kill you and take all your possessions. We can see you have something in the bag. Gomohan then knew this were his last minutes. So he said, can I please pray to my Ishtadev before you can? Yeah, of course. We are also good Hindus, you know. So he prayed. I don't know which Nrisimha mantra he chanted, but I believe it's Jato Yato Jami Tato Nrisimha. Oh, Bahe Nrisimha, Ridaye Nrisimha, Nrisimha Madim Saranam. One more time. Bahe Nrisimha, Ridaye Nrisimha, Nrisimha Madim Saranam Bapade. His heart became peaceful, and all of a sudden there was a terrible roar to be heard. And from the jungle appeared, this is how the father described it, Lord Nrisimhadev, and took care. Sometimes it is also said in many accounts, I've read a few, that lions come. The Lord may not directly appear, in other words, but he may send his servants. You know, lions are good enough against bandits. So he makes arrangement. And Srila Prabhupada brings this point now out of the historical context. I often feel that we are arresting spirituality in history. Okay, Krishna appeared 5,000 plus years ago. That's when he appeared. Let him stay there. Rams appeared so many millions of years ago. That's a long time back. Let him, he's there, he's from there. Nrisimhadev appeared in this Leela. What the great devotees always do is they say, you're mistaken. The historical approach to spirituality does not work. The Lord is present still today, and he is appearing for the devotees when you turn to him. Once, this was one of the impossible situations of journalism, a reporter stuck a microphone in Srila Prabhupada's face and said, what do you feel when you chant? You know, it was one of these. And Prabhupada immediately said, I feel no fear. The one who has said Jai, have you thought before you said Jai? To what did you jai? You are laughing. To what are you laughing? My dear devotees, the context in which this is told is the Lord is present now and he can come to your help now. Therefore, Prabhupada says, I don't feel any fear. I'm protected. Krishna is like the sun. Maya is like the darkness. Wherever there's the Krishna sun, no darkness can be there. My dear devotees, to the extent where you can see Krishna in your life, you will be confident and free from all fear. But to the extent where you can't see Krishna in a situation that is goes out of your hand, you will be fearful. I will ask Krishna to give me one Bhagavad Gita verse 6:30, please. Once Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture let me just first go here. To the extent where you can see Krishna in your life, you will not be overwhelmed by what? And to the extent where you cannot see Krishna in any situation, misunderstanding, illness, divorce, falling out of sympathy with someone, when you can't see Krishna, fear or this unpleasant material energy will get you. There's a beautiful verse. Yo mang pashyati sarvatra. A little louder, please. Savang chamai pashyati. Tasyaham na pranashyami. Sachame na pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere. Nice that you're enthusiastic. Thank you. I thought to just read it alone so that we can hear carefully. For one, I'll make some music here for this. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. No? When you see Krishna everywhere, you are not lost and you are always with Krishna. And this is the verse which we read today. Please bring it back to the purpose. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because he is absorbed in the external illusory energy of the Lord. Most Hare Krishnas are on this level. They are absorbed in material things. Why do I say such a except when they are in Kirtan. Why do I say such a critical remark? My dear devotees, I have done for 1 year an intense study of what the devotees talk about. I have been hidden behind a door and listened to the conversations in rooms. I have gone and hid outside when the devotees came from the lectures. I hoped they would speak about the lecture. I was mistaken. I have sometimes gone in the big chat room of ISKCON, the internet. I'm avoiding this now. I was very, very amazed what I saw, the conversations going on. I was I cried my tears, and I decided, maybe I'm the same, but let me try to be different. Try. Fear arises, my dear devotees, when in your consciousness there is no Krishna. When you look for other causes, when you look for other solutions in your life, you're going the path that leads you to fear. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets who he really is, that he is only a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency for illusion called what? Maya, yes. We are Maya. We forget we are we are only servants of Krishna. Eternal. This is whatever happens in the world of birth and death is affected by the illusory energy. Prabhupada makes this point in the lecture, how Krishna is everywhere. The Lord is the super soul. The Lord is the spiritual master. And the Lord is the worshipable deity of all conditioned souls. Not only is Krishna the supreme worshipful deity for all living entities, he is very close. He's not far. He is the Guru or Chaitya Guru, the super soul, who always gives the living entity good counsel. But unfortunately, the living entity neglects the Supreme Person's instructions. There was a moving encounter once. Prabhupada had given a lecture in England in the Bury Place temple, and in the midst of a lecture a guest stood up and asked Prabhupada a question, but have you seen Krishna? So this is usually a little rude or impolite when the lecturer is interrupted. But Prabhupada must have seen this person. He had come to a temple not to attack, also he was curious. And now in the lecture he was asking himself, he talks about Krishna carrying the flute and having a yellow dhoti. But has he seen him? Or is it just a belief? And so Prabhupada, usually a devotee will not talk about his realizations in public. He said, yes. Then he asked the person a question. Have you not seen Krishna? What about you? The guest said, no, I've not seen. And then Prabhupada asked a question which I want to ask each single one of you. But do you want to see Krishna? Now the guest had to think. If he would have been a Hare Krishna, he would have said, I'm not qualified. But he was not a Hare Krishna, so he said the same thing in a simple word, no. I don't want to see Krishna. And here Prabhupada chimed in. My dear devotees, this is not about Sahajism, seeing Krishna, wanting to see Krishna. It's about a total different point, and I hope you are able to listen and catch the point. It's about eagerness. This is the prize. Are you eager? There was once a great devotee, another time we can talk about his life. His name was Padmapada. He was a servant of an exalted spiritual master. He lived in the temple, but the temple became too busy for him. He needed alone time. So he went to the forest to chant and meditate. Do you sometimes, when you lived in the temple, could you sympathize with this? I need a... So much is going on and I don't have a time. And everyone asked me, where is the Sandesh outfit and so on. So he wanted to go for some time. He sat down, he chanted, and then something happened which he had tried to avoid. Someone came, he was a hunter, and he said, "Oh, young monk, what do you want here? What are you searching for in the forest?" And Padmapada hoped to just quickly end the discussion because he wanted to be alone and not always asked. He said, "I want to find him who is half a lion and half a man." He was a devotee of Nrisingadev. The hunters asked, "Is there such a being? I'm here from the forest. I know everything and everyone in the forest. Is there such a being?" "Yes," said Padmapada, "there is a being. His name is Nrisingadev, half man, half lion." "Oh," said the hunter, "you are such a good man. I want to see if I can find this being for you. And when I find him, look what I have." And he took out a rope. "I will put the noose around his neck and I will bring him to you. I am from the forest. I am a hunter here." So Padmapada, he shook his head. "I'm trying to see the Lord since so long. I'm trying to have the darshan of the Lord since so long, but it doesn't work. Hunter." He said, "Good luck." So the hunter went, and that day he searched in all the forests. He went up the mountains. He climbed dangerous spots where he could risk his, where he was risking his life. He went into the dense, dark forests, yes, and he saw a tiger, but that was not a half man, half lion. At the end of his search, he had become so emotionally involved that he thought, "If I don't find this being, I will hang myself with this rope and commit suicide." So he, the night came, and he thought, "Okay, this is my end." And so he took a block of wood, stood on it, and he tightened the rope on a branch. And he was folding his hands and said, "Oh being, you have not appeared to me. Please appear in my next life to me." And he was just about to kick the where he was standing, but he opened his eyes, and I want to read this to you. He saw all of a sudden a lion looking at him, and as he looked closer, the lion had the legs of a human being. He was admiring him, but then the idea came, the saint whom I promised to bring him is still waiting. So he put the noose around the lion, and surprisingly, the lion cooperated. And he almost as if he had been waiting to be caught. He himself adjusted the noose and followed meekly. Meekly means like humble. The jubilant hunter was leading this lion, and he looked one time back. He was radiant, full of light. So he quickly reached Padmapada and declared, "O respectable saint, O sadhu, look what I have for you, the object of your meditation, half lion and half man." Yes. Padmapada was really surprised to see the hunter, and he looked, but there was only darkness. By now it was dark behind the hunter, and he couldn't see anything. But when he looked closely, he saw a rope dangling from mid-air. He didn't see around which what the rope was around. And then he heard a loud voice. It was Lord Nrsimhadev. It's a deep voice. "Dear Padmapada, although you are my devotee, I'm not visible to you. Isn't it surprising that this hunter can see me? He can see me because he searched for me today with all his might, with single-pointed intelligence. There was nothing else he wanted but me, only me, me alone. I'm always available to those who desire me intensely. I reciprocate in the way my devotee desires, but I'm still invisible to you because your intensity, your desire for me is still not enough." Wow! My dear devotees, in a festival like this, we have the unique chance to cultivate our intensity to become Krishna conscious. It's a unique opportunity. The whole festival is arranged that we have multiple darshans of Lord Nrsimhadev. Please make photos on your mobile distraction machines. There is good association. There is a full program with seminars, with theater plays or audio plays tomorrow, I think. There is good association with whom you can discuss about your journey in your Krishna consciousness, the obstacles which you face, perhaps the ways you can learn ways to overcome them. All this is meant to make you rich. Rich in this one quality of intense desire to become Krishna conscious or Nrsimha conscious. With this I want to end. What do you think? Hari Bol, you think?
Prabhupada
say
to the guest, he said, "I don't want to. I know you get to see."
Yeah. Thank you. What he replied was, I want to say it to you verbatim, so let me. He said, "You don't want to see Krishna. Therefore, you can't see him. The reason why we can't see him is that we lack eagerness." Mm-hmm. So he, yes. Even the Lord told this to Padmapada, you know. He was not a registered member of the Hare Krishna movement. He lived many centuries before all of us. But these spiritual principles are always the same. And my dear devotees, I'm of course now, I'm becoming old in my life. I see things don't function the way they functioned in my body. I forget. I usually forget names, you know. And I can see I will lose everything here in this world, including my bibek and my impressive book collection. Only, the only thing which will go with me is whatever amount of service I was allowed to do, whatever little Krishna consciousness has come, whatever purification of the heart has taken place. And I do understand now, as I'm entering the autumn of my life, soon the evening of the life, I do understand these are the things that matter most. Other things I will lose. I cannot hold them. Therefore, I'm now older than most of you. You have the smile of youthful innocence and many youthful desires also on your face. I can only say, go for that which is eternal. Go for that which is always with you. Go for that which will also free you from all existential fears or internal discomfort, no? Which gives you security. That is Krishna. Hmm? Wonderful. I thank you very much. I now will turn to those who are from here. Yes, Gomohan, do you know? We are running a little. Here's our man. Sorry. I'm forgetting Govinda already. what should we do now, Govinda? I think it's time to end the class.
Yeah, everybody's so eager, nobody's moving. So breakfast is surely already outside. So maybe there's some questions. Otherwise, we could start moving towards Prasadam. And then at 11, we will have the first seminar in the temple room. And at 12, the second seminar will start here in the temple.
Yes, 12. I would say those who need to go and wish to go, please don't feel uncomfortable to leave. It is, you have a whole day, but if there are some questions, why don't the questioners come here and then we just engage in 15 minutes questions and answer. There was Kavi. Mm-hmm.
Hari Bol Maharaj, thank you so much for a very wonderful class. I had a question on a point you mentioned during the beginning, which is about the three forms of Krishna, which are Bhakta Vatsalya.
Yes.
Which is Krishna, Nrisimhadeva, and Ram. And I was wondering about Mahaprabhu. Is he also in that Bhakta Vatsalya mood, or in a slightly different mood? In terms of how much affection for the devotees.
Mahaprabhu is glorified for this question of being audarya, that is extremely munificent, giving. Prabhupada says it's very difficult to obtain love of God because we cannot know the person so easily. And then we can't know Krishna so easily. So how can we then love him? He makes this point. Yes. So Lord Chaitanya, he makes this point, is freely giving love through chanting the holy name while we avoid the offenses. No? Then as we do this, we actually, even though we are disqualified, we develop this love of Krishna. So that's his main quality. But of course he has other qualities also, and it is very much, he's very much known for protecting his devotees even from death, even from death. Like the son of Advaitacharya, he protected him from death. The son of Srivas Thakur, he was there like a parent when he died, and here he didn't protect him from death, but he went with him to the Ganga and he held him in his hand while washing his dead body in the Ganga, just like the father. But his quality, main quality, is his munificent. No? Therefore, he is also Kavichandra. He's known as a hidden incarnation. So therefore, scriptures don't deal with him in this and put him on the level of God. You know, because he wouldn't like it. He would go, ah, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. He doesn't want to be there. But yes, if you want to have the fatherly love of Lord Chaitanya, he's definitely willing to give it. There are many examples in his Leela. Mm-hmm. Any other question, please? Go, Jai Gopal. Krishna, Krishna.
How do we develop this eagerness you spoke about?
I couldn't.
How do we develop this eagerness you spoke about at the end of the class?
It's very interesting. The time when the conditioned soul is eager for Krishna is when he is in trouble. A person whose world collapses starts to turn to God. Even an atheist sometimes does it. So the way the Bhakta comes into this mood where he turns to Krishna, listen very carefully, is when the Bhakta practices humility. Because when you are practicing humility, also your world collapses. You're feeling wretched. And perhaps you have seen, this is the place from where you can access Krishna consciousness. When you are not in this mood, you don't have the eagerness. Why? Everything is all right. For a humble person, everything is not all right. I'm a fallen, I'm a small person. I sometimes laugh. Devotees sometimes, nice devotees write to me letters and they say, we must do it like this, your insignificant servant. Thinking, oh, the most insignificant man is ordering others around. You have not understood what you are signing with. Yes, we are the Hare Krishna, the attempt to become Krishna conscious, we are trying. So you're practicing humility. I'm not saying being humble, I'm saying practicing being humble, doing menial service, doing what is necessary, approaching people in a supportive way, in a humble mindset, that brings you to a place where all of a sudden you feel from your heart, oh, I want Krishna, you're purified. So either you become involuntarily humbled by the crashing force of the waves of material energy, or you become voluntary humble. What path do you prefer, Jai Gopal? it's answered, yes. Hare Krishna. Now, my dear devotees, I won't be cruel any longer. I will let you go in peace. Have a wonderful festival. It's good if you don't do too long, to sit here too long, because you have to take your prasadam and then be there. There are so many other programs. My dear devotees, I want to tell you something about tomorrow. If you can fast, don't go for the pizza and all the food stands which want to make a profit. It purifies your heart and your mind if you can fast tomorrow. Hare Krishna. I cannot stop joking. Hare Krishna.
Ki jai. Ki jai.